a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
They will come to order, and would the Secretary please call the roll?
Frisley?
Here.
Hunstead?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Nygaard? Lederman?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
There is a quorum.
We do have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting? Moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Lederman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. This morning we will, the first bill we'll take up will be number 61. Then we will take the one that we had, we'll continue the hearing on Senate Bill 20. And then we have the appointment hearing for the governor's appointment to the Secretary of the Department of Revenue, Andy Gerlach. Before we get started, once again, remind those of you who will be testifying to please sign the register back there by the door to be sure that we get your name spelled right. And those of you who happen to carry a cell phone, you may leave it on if you choose. If it rings, that means that you get to buy in this committee, we like donuts, something food, something that's got some real substance to it, so you can conduct yourself accordingly. We have with us Pages this morning. We have a new group of Pages from right here in Pierre. He didn't have to brave very many roads to get here, Joey Nofshinsky. And also a very familiar name, Elizabeth Bogue from Faith, who I'm sure that... some of you would remember her brother as having been a page 2 years ago, and her dad sat in this Senate for quite an extended period of time previous to that. Our interns are Robbie Canis from Clear Lake, right, and Ashley Tanner, who's will be sitting in the chair right there in the front row in a little bit, must be running an important bit of business. I believe that we are ready to open the hearing on Senate Bill 61, which is an act to exempt the production of certain plants and sod from sales and use tax. So may we have the first proponent of Senate Bill 61, please. Senator Bogalka, come to Senate Tax. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senator Tim Bogalka, District 4, Clear Lake. Bring before you Senate Bill 61. Those of you who were here back in 2007 probably recognize this bill. It passed overwhelmingly that year. Passed the Senate 31-2, passed the House 43-25. It was governed by, vetoed by the governor, and just missed override by a couple votes in the House. I would start by saying this isn't your ordinary tax exemption bill. This isn't just somebody's idea to go out on a limb and make an exemption or an exception. If we look at the bill, I think you'll see that what I'm doing here is using existing law, which I believe are not being correctly interpreted at this time and haven't been for several decades. I remember back in the 80s, I called Senator Harold Halverson, tried to get him to vote for a bill similar to this, and it failed back then. Back in 04, Representative Weems and Senator DeHewick had a similar bill that was also vetoed. And then in 2007, this same bill with just a couple, one very minor word changing just to clarify a couple things. This same bill was carried by Senator Jim Peterson and Representative Carol Pitts. This is the first time I've actually carried this bill myself. I figured, what the heck? I've been in the greenhouse and nursery business all my life. Just to go through it briefly with you, there are two sections. The first one is, of course, 1045 is the sales tax, and 1046 is the use tax. What we're talking about here are strictly things used in our businesses to produce plants that will be ultimately sold at retail. And they will be taxed when they're sold at retail. Right now, when I buy fertilizer for my greenhouse or an insecticide, I have to pay sales or use tax on it. The production of any sod or any greenhouse, nursery, or food-bearing or ornamental plant is considered an agricultural purpose. If the sod and plants are raised with the intent to be ultimately sold at retail, the following products are hereby specifically exempted from the tax imposed by Chapter 1045 if the products are directly used in the production of the sod or plants. Subsection 1, any pesticide is defined in 3820A-1, and those are the and any product or substance used in conjunction enumerated in 1045-16-1. These are the laws that have been on the books for years, the ag exemptions. Right in the Department of Revenue's own flyer, it says pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, rodenticides, fumigants used exclusively for agricultural purposes are exempt. I've got those here somewhere if you want to go through them. But anyway, it's your ag exemption for all pesticides, etc. The second section is commercial fertilizer, as defined already in law, which, as you know, every other section of ag, their fertilizer is exempt. Pesticide is any substance, mixture of substances used for preventing, destroying, repelling, or mitigating any pests or any substance or mixture of substances intended for use as a plant regulator, defoliant, or desiccant. And then the third subsection is fuel used for agricultural purposes as defined in 1045-19. I got so many papers, so I'm a little bit disorganized. Going back to subsection 1, the 1045-16.1 includes such things as adjuvants, surfactants, inoculants, retardants, water conditioners, seed treatments, foam markers, foam dyes, that are exempt already in law. Equipment, of course, is not exempt, and that's specified in the law. The fuel, 1045-19, exemption of fuel used for agriculture or railroad purposes, motor fuel including kerosene, tractor fuel, liquefied petroleum gas, natural and artificial gas, diesel fuels, and distillates, when used for ag purposes, is exempt. And this obviously includes heating fuel because it says does not include the lighting or heating of any farm residence. And with the passage last year of the elimination of the refund for motor fuel tax on tractors, that's kind of a moot point. What this would cover then would be such things as heating fuel in greenhouses, etc. And I think about our industry. Let me back up a little bit and tell you a little bit about some of the things I've noticed over the years. There's been a lot of businesses that have gone out of business. I think just in the northeastern part of South Dakota, I've got a list here of auctions I've been to in the last 10 years, businesses that went belly up. Bill Gillis had a greenhouse south of Brookings. North Grove Farms north of Brookings had an auction in Volga. Bob's Nursery in business, went out of business in Brookings. Now, he retired. That's the only one on this list I believe that actually retired. There was a Growjoy Nursery and Greenhouse in Madison, Heath's Greenhouse in Bancroft, a little town that had a nice big greenhouse, quite a bit bigger than mine, but the last straw was when the wind tore down his greenhouses one year, and he just had enough. Four Seasons Nursery in Watertown went out of business, Lakeland Nursery in Watertown went out of business, Watercolor Gardens in Millbank went out of business. I was at all these auctions except one, I believe. And part of the reason I'm coming today is because I believe our industry is kind of misunderstood and unappreciated because the crops we grow in our greenhouses were directly in competition with out-of-state growers. And in talking to some of the in-state growers, the states they compete with, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, they all have all these laws already. And that's why a lot of your greenhouses that are set up in parking lots of grocery stores, hardware stores, etc. in the spring, ship their plants from out of state because they can buy them cheaper because their growers aren't paying a fuel tax. They aren't paying a fertilizer tax. They aren't paying a pesticide tax. And the, you know, the same governor that vetoed this bill back in 07, he signed a bill to exempt gold coins and bullion, which was largely to appease out-of-state businesses to come into South Dakota. He also signed a bill to exempt some of the sales and use tax from movie companies to try to come into South Dakota. You know, Hollywood companies to come into South Dakota to make movies. They had these own businesses that have been working hard and sweating right here in South Dakota for years. No exemption, even though the law is already on the books. And to say that this is an agriculture, by every criteria you want to use, 10.6-31.3, classification of land as agricultural. Its principal use is devoting to the raising and harvesting of crops or timber or fruit trees, the rearing, feeding, and management of farm, livestock, poultry, fish, or nursery stock, the production of bees and apiary products, or horticulture. Horticulture is the growing of ornamental plants, flowers, trees, etc. Now, when I was working with Senator Peterson back in 07, wondering, are there other people that could come on board with us to try to help us out, you know, other industries? I talked to bee guys, the apiary. Do you pay sales tax on your pesticides? No, we're exempt. The fish guys, the aquaculture, are you paying sales or use tax? No. Forestry? No. We were the only industry I could find that was paying taxes on ag chemicals. If you walk into any ag supply store and buy a jug of malathione off the shelf, you know, they normally don't tax that because it's used for ag purposes. You know, if you're going to use that to spray flies on your horses or in your barn, well, automatically, you know, you're exempt. But if I'm a greenhouse and I use that same jug, I have to fill out, you know, when I file my sales tax every month, I got to pay use tax on that chemical. So for that reason, you know, and we are inspected by the Department of Ag. I had an inspector tell me, you know, you guys are probably taxed higher than any other kind of industry in the Department of Ag, you know, based on what you do, what your sales are, what your gross income is, etc. For instance, I wrote a check to the Department of Ag in December for $435. That was for 2 years. $360 for nursery inspection fee. I'm a South Dakota surgeon. I'm a resident nurseryman. And $75 for 2 years for a seed permit to be able to sell seed. So that's $435. That's for 2 years. That's about $220 a year that I'm required, which is fine. They inspect me, make sure we don't have any pests, etc. One of the reasons, further, those of us that raise plants in a greenhouse, out-of-state competition, we're already at a disadvantage compared to other states further south or east. We have more wind. We have more snow load. We have more cold. And I believe particularly, this is a sunshine state, but particularly up in the northeastern part of the state where higher elevation, sometimes we have a lot of days, consecutive days, with no sun. A lot of fog, cloudy days. That's another reason why we're already at a disadvantage just by our weather. You can't super insulate a greenhouse. You need sun. You need to have transparent roofs to let the sun in, but yet those same structures let more heat out than your home or your business. And it's a high intense labor business. Mostly employees, we've had a lot of turnover, seasonal employees. Almost unanimously, after a few weeks, they say, wow, I didn't know there was so much to do here. I didn't know there was so much work. I didn't know there was so much involved with this. So, it's kind of like, I've told people, it's kind of like milking cows. You can't just lock the door on the weekend and go home. You know, it's not like a hardware store or the furniture store or the clothing store. You got to be there every day. Watering, checking for pests, is it too hot, is it too cold, all this kind of thing. I went into a store in Watertown a couple years ago. We had a few chickens. I bought a bag of chicken feed. She handed me a slip to sign this. You know, this is, you're using this for chickens, right? Oh, yeah. Well, sign the sheet. It's tax exempt. We had like 10 or 12 chickens. We did sell a few eggs, and we had too many, but you know, they were just for our own. But since they were poultry feed, it was tax exempt. But yet a business, we're only talking about things that go into my products that I sell. It's not tax exempt. I guess to me that doesn't make any sense. The financial impact, I have a fiscal note here from 2004 from the LRC, fiscal impact of $5,000. Now, at that time, this did not include the fuel part. $5,000. They said that the use tax paid by greenhouses in the year 2003 was $3,043. $3,043 statewide for use tax paid by greenhouses and nurseries. But yet the administration, Department of Revenue back in 07 came up with the figure of $250,000. $250,000 impact at 4%. You know what that would have meant? It meant that we were buying over $6 million a year of these products. $6 million? I mean, our industry isn't that big. Even when you add in the fuel, I mean, that's a ridiculous amount. And visiting with some of the other legislators, all we could figure out, and similar things have been done in the past, maybe took the total number of licenses and multiplied it by the biggest guy. I mean, where else would you come up with a number so astronomical? I have a sheet here from the Department of Ag. Last year, there were 81 resident nurserymen in South Dakota, 81, and a lot of those were small. A resident nurseryman is someone who raises nursery stock in the state of South Dakota. Some of these are little old ladies. I mean, almost a half of these had sales of less than $5,000 a year. Little old ladies that are raising irises or peonies in their backyard that need a nursery license because they're selling nursery stock. There is a difference between nursery stock and annual greenhouse plants. And then to go into the second part of Section 1 and Section 2, starting on line 2 on page 2, no horticulture enterprise may receive the exemption pursuant to the section unless the horticulture enterprise is a resident nurseryman, as defined in Subdivision 3824B111, licensed by the Department of Ag. In other words, your nursery stock dealers wouldn't even be eligible for this exemption because they are primarily not raising things, they're just selling them. They ship them in, they sell them, they're gone, or they may be a landscaper, just buys in plants for his jobs and doesn't even offer them for sale. Retail, maybe just uses them for his customers, landscaping installation. And there's over 300 dealers in South Dakota. None of them would even qualify unless, you know, going to the next section, a permanent standing greenhouse operating for more than 3 months a year with the main enterprises of the raising of plants from a seed, seedling plug, or cutting to finish as a saleable product. In other words, if you have a temporary greenhouse in the spring and you're just selling bedding plants, you're not going to get this exemption. You have to be a grower, a permanent grower. Even if you do happen to fertilize your plants, you're not exempt. A grower of sod, or a commercial grower of fruits and vegetables if the products are ultimately offered for sale at retail. This is a commercial grower. This isn't a little old lady that maybe sold a few tomatoes or cucumbers at a farmer's market once or twice. This is a commercial grower. Obviously, the fuel part could possibly have the largest financial impact, but most of these things, trees, sod, that are grown outside, there's little or no, if it isn't tractor fuel to cut, to maybe a big belly mower to cut the grass or a disc to whatever, that's not going to be exempt because we don't give exemptions for ag fuel anymore. It would just be basically the heating of greenhouses, and there really are very few greenhouses in South Dakota that are open in the winter. There's a few big ones. There's a couple big ones. There's Hebert's in Sioux Falls. There's Dan and Jerry's in Madison. There's Lewis and Big Stone that's pretty good size, but there really aren't that many. And just to take my personal situation, how this will benefit me, to be straight out front with you, the pesticides and fertilizers, if I spend $300 a year at four cents, that's $12. If I spend $500, and I normally don't even spend that much, $500, that'll be $20. It'll benefit me. If you add in the fuel, if I spend $2,000 on heating fuel in a year, at 4%, that's $80. So if you take the 80 and the 20, it could benefit me maximum $100 a year. That's less than what I pay for a nursery license. So, why are we taxed? Why are we here? I'm not sure why, but many years ago, the Department of Revenue decided, I think we can go after these guys. I think we can tax this. And they did. That's their job to raise money. That's their job to supply money to the state. And until we as a legislature tell them no, they're going to keep doing it. That's their job. They're professionals. That's what they've always done. But I believe this is an error that needs to be righted. As I said, this bill has been around several times. When I went around to get signatures, a couple guys says, didn't we pass that already? Didn't we already get that through a couple times? Well, yes and no. And kind of the kicker was, the only reason this bill keeps coming back is because you guys don't have a lobbyist. You're just little. It's just me, usually, and a few of my friends. We're not big. We're not wealthy. The rest of agriculture has enjoyed these tax exemptions for years on their pesticides. I mean, it's the laws are cited in the bill. So, Governor Dugard has said one of his main points he wants to maintain and promote our positive business climate in South Dakota, and I believe this is a great opportunity. Put an olive branch out to this small group of businesses that I believe have been taken advantage of over the years. A little step, maybe you'll prevent one more from closing. Maybe they'll be able to hire another employee. They'll be able to continue to produce their products in South Dakota against the competition from other states who has a big advantage in less tax burden and a more favorable climate. So with that, I probably talked too long already, so thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Are there additional proponents to Senate Bill 61? Any additional proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 61? We'll withhold committee questions until all the testimony is completed. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jan Talley, Department of Revenue. Senate Bill 61 provides an additional exemption to the sales tax laws for purchases of pesticide, fertilizer, and fuel. The Revenue Department has estimated the tax loss on this bill to be close to $350,000. We spent a considerable amount of time last summer studying the sales tax exemptions. There were a lot of questions proposed in the committee to the department about where did these exemptions come from and how were they enacted. How these exemptions are enacted is exactly like this. Some small business or some business enterprise believes that they're entitled to an exemption to the sales tax laws because maybe they have a similar business as agricultural. We have a very broad-based sales tax. We tax a lot of services and we tax a lot of products. We also have a lot of exemptions to our sales tax law. This would provide another exemption. These exemptions do erode the tax base. If this exemption is granted, who will ask for another exemption? Will it be manufacturing? Manufacturing has a lot of inputs that they pay tax on. Any items that they use or consume in their business, they pay tax on to produce their products. Could be things like electricity. You need electricity to run a manufacturing plant. You need fuel and natural gas and things like that to run generators. Those are all taxed for manufacturers. If this exemption was granted to nurseries, they would only pay tax on a few things. They would probably pay tax on computer equipment and some office equipment and other supplies. This bill could possibly, if it's defining nurseries as ag purposes, could also grant them the exemption for farm repair parts and maintenance items. If they have any farm equipment like tractors or any attachment units or things like this, this bill could provide an exemption for their parts and maintenance items. The language in this bill also could have some unintended consequences dealing with property tax. This bill could move nurseries into the ag definition for property tax versus commercial, which could affect the mill levies and other things in the property tax area. I strongly urge that you defeat this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tolley. Are there further opponents to Senate Bill 61? Are there other opponents to Senate Bill 61? Any other opponents? Seeing none, I would allow you a couple minutes, Senator Balgalka, to for a rebuttal.
Well, thank you, sir. As I mentioned in my previous testimony, the department came up with a figure of $250,000 a few years ago. Now it's jumped to $350,000. That's over $8 million that 40 businesses are going to spend on fuel, pesticides, and fertilizer. That's ridiculous. I would be curious to know where they came up with that, if they just drove it out of the sky or what. In our governor's message, he said he was willing to give each science and math teacher in the state $5,000 a year. The LRC's own fiscal note in 2004 said the impact of the total fertilizer pesticide was only $5,000 a year to the entire state. The governor's message also said he has a cushion of $10 million. This fiscal year. Next fiscal year, it's $10 million as well. I would say if you added fuel into this, I cannot see where you would be maybe over $20,000, not $350,000, because I know these businesses. I know how many operate a year-round green or a winter greenhouse. And an exemption from ag parts and repairs? We already have ag machinery. We already pay the same rate every other farmer does, and we wouldn't. This is nothing to do with tractor parts and service. We pay the same rate as they do now, and we always will. And it has nothing to do with real estate taxes. My land and my business are already ag. They've always been ag. This is not going to give an ag exemption for my business for real estate. I already have it. So, I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. We'll open to committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, we will open to committee discussion and or action. I see lots of people reaching for their microphones, but no Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move do pass.
Okay, we have a motion do pass from Senator Hunstead, second from Senator Lederman. Any speaking to the motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nygaard.
Alternative motion.
Proceed.
I move to the 41st day.
Okay, we have substitute motion from Senator Nygaard to the 41st day. Is there a second to that? Second from Senator Frisley. Any speaking to the 41st day motion?
Yes, I would just like to say this. The roads are terrible from Vermilion to all the way to Reliance. Four-wheel drive this morning started at 5. That's why I'm late. But this is not something that I'm late in considering, in that I have worked at length last year with the Department of Revenue and with this legislature to try to spread the tax base by removing exemptions from sales tax instead of creating additional new ones. And in fact, of all the summer studies this summer, the sales tax exemption was voted by most legislators as something that they and the public, you can just take that out of the room, young man. They and the public are concerned about. Pretty soon, if we keep exempting everything, we won't have anything left that's being taxed. And I can't believe that this small amount of tax on that, as the past speaker, just the proponent of the bill, just pointed out, if it doesn't amount to that, it certainly doesn't amount to much to the bottom line either. It's just passed on to the consumer. So with that, I respectfully move that we move this bill to the 41st day.
Okay, any other speaking to the 41st day motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hunstead.
I just listened and absolutely agree with Senator Nygaard in that it does get passed on to the ultimate customer. As a matter of fact, that's where our tax system works. We'll take one product that might come from this greenhouse, and we'll say it's a tomato plant that is raised in the greenhouse. The seed is purchased. The seed is planted. The water is put on. The temperature goes up. The seed grows. I don't know how the greenhouse determines the price of that tomato plant, but I'm guessing they try to take in all of their expenses and add in, I hope, a profit. And the whole value of that tomato plant and all of the costs that went into it get ultimately taxed when that person buys the tomato plant and takes it home and puts it in their garden. They don't get it tax-free. It gets paid. It's paid by the ultimate consumer. The tax exemptions that he's talking about, he says, I currently have to pay additional taxes on the things that go into that tomato plant. The fertilizer that I put on it, the fuel that I heat the building with, I pay taxes on. And I'd remind you that if the taxes are part of the cost of the tomato that's raised at the greenhouse, those taxes are ultimately retaxed a second time when the consumer buys a tomato plant. So he doesn't just pay the tax on the tomato plant. He pays the tax again on the fertilizer, and then he pays a tax on the tax that the greenhouse paid on the fertilizer. Senator Nygaard is exactly right. It gets passed on to the ultimate consumer, and that's where it ought to be. Why we think we need to tax it twice is the reason that this should not go to the 41st day, but should be passed through by us, that don't think we should overtax anyone in this state, that we ought to have a broad, low tax. That's why the 41st day is a bad idea, and we should vote to kill the 41st motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Nelson?
Senator Nygaard?
Just a quick response. You know, last year we learned that there were $523 million of exempt taxes from sales tax, which really gives you an idea what the cumulative effect of these small little exemptions. This represents a crack in the veneer of the whole sales tax system. And if we don't put our foot down and do what's right for the state, this will continue to crack. And at a time when we're struggling to find money for education and providers and state workers, we need to keep the tax base fair in South Dakota. Thank you. I urge you to vote for the 41st day.
Any other speaking? Senator Lederman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the motion for the 41st day comes without full review of how our laws are set up, and that's horticulture is part of the exemption that's on the books. And I think we would all have a very hard time to argue why these nurseries are not horticulture. Now, I come from an area of the state that sees competition from Iowa and Nebraska. And before session started, I did have some folks come to me from Iowa who said, look, we are providing such great benefits to the people who sell produce that is grown locally in Iowa. Take a look at this. And they are giving so many benefits to their local growers to compete with the people that are selling these plants, selling the fruits and vegetables that we're buying in our stores. And when our businesses are going out, are having trouble, and I see my local greenhouse that has a very hard time to compete with Iowa, I tend to agree with the proponents for this bill. I think if we're going to have laws and we're in charge of deciphering them and explaining them and making sure that they're followed correctly, I think it would be irresponsible for us to vote for the 41st day, because we know it's a horticultural business. That's defined in law. That's given an exemption. And if we're not going to follow our own laws and say, well, we're still going to keep this tax on these folks here, then let's change the law and take horticulture out. But when this business comes here and they're defined under law for the exemption, I say we follow through and we pass this. So I would ask that you have a negative vote on this deferral to the 41st day.
Thank you, Senator. Further speaking to the motion? Seeing none, we'll ask the Secretary to call the roll. Those in favor of sending this bill to the 41st day will vote aye. Those opposed, vote nay, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hunstad?
No.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
No.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Lederman?
No.
Hansen?
No.
Three yes, four no.
The 41st day motion is defeated on a 4-3 vote. Senator Lederman? Okay, we're back to the original motion made by Senator Hunstad, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any further speaking to that motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nelson.
Very briefly, as I sat on the sales tax review committee this summer, frustrating exercise from my chair, but as I listened, and I did listen with an open mind, it became aware that the state of South Dakota has a tax policy of not taxing agriculture, horticulture, and not for the most part in taxing inputs to products that are sold or for resale, products that are created or grown for resale. And I think this fits right in with that, so I would encourage a favorable vote on the do pass motion.
Thank you, Senator. Further speaking to the motion? Seeing none, we are now back to the motion, do pass. Secretary will call the roll. Those voting yes, Secretary will call the roll.
Frisley?
No.
Hunstad?
Yes.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Nope.
Lederman?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Five yes, two no.
Okay, Senate Bill 61 will go down to the floor on a 5-2 vote. This brings us back to Senate Bill 20. We reopened the hearing on Senate Bill 20 from last Friday. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the disclosure of certain tax returns and tax return information to officers, employees, and legal representatives of the Office of the Attorney General and other state agencies and departments. Do we have a proponent? good morning. And it appears that you have an amendment.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Andy Fergal with the Department of Revenue. And yes, Mr. Chairman, there is an amendment to Senate Bill 20 that the page is handing out to you now. If I could speak to the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Please do.
I'm not going to go into detail about the discussion that we had prior with the committee concerning Senate Bill 20, but I do want to speak to the amendment. After our discussion with the committee about 2 weeks ago concerning this bill, I think the committee indicated that it liked the concept, but that the bill needed some work. Senator Lederman suggested some change to the bill that would make it acceptable, and basically if you look at the amendment that's before you, it takes, if you look at the original bill, it basically removes subsection 7 of that bill. It also removes the strike-throughs to subsection 5, and it strikes out the words "if the head" in subsection 5. And so basically the result of the amendment would be to allow for other folks to request return information from the department besides the head of the agency. So, for instance, the head of the Attorney General's office, for instance, could designate individuals that could request information from the Department of Revenue. And it would maintain the need for a written request, so those requests would have some written trail for people to follow concerning who asked for the information and for what purpose. So with that, I would ask that you move the amendment, pass the amendment, and then pass the bill. And I'll stand by for any questions.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move 20FB.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the amendment from Senator Hunstad, seconded by Senator Lederman. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the bill is so amended.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Nygaard.
Yeah, I would also move amendment 20FTA, the title change amendment. Yeah, we could do it afterwards, but might as well.
Yeah, let's pass the bill first.
Okay.
Any further proponents to Senate Bill 20, now as amended? Any other proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 20? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will close to committee questions, if there are any. Any questions? If not, Senator Nygaard?
Move to pass.
We have a motion to pass from Senator Nygaard, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any speaking to the motion?
No.
Senator Maher?
Just a couple quick comments, Mr. Chairman. Originally, I wasn't in favor of this, but I do like how we leave a paperwork trail in place, so there is some checks and balances left there, and we know who is requesting this information and maybe what they're going to do with it and stuff. So I do like the amended version way, way better than the first one. Thank you.
Good. That's the way good legislation arrives, is to make it better. Any further comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hunstad.
I would like to, in our first hearing on this, many of us thought that it needed more work, and I'm glad to see that you've gone back and done the work. I think this is the way good government happens. On a year like this, where we're down to 33 days, ordinarily I would like to see it massaged before we see it, but we've done it now. We've got time now, so let us run this bill through.
Okay. Any further speaking to the motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
And motion carries on a 7-0 vote. Now, Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Title Amendment 20FTA that would amend as follows. On page 1, line 1, delete everything after 2 and insert allow returns and return information to be disclosed. And on page 1, line 2, delete everything before 2.
Okay, is there a second to the title amendment?
Second by Senator Lederman.
All in favor, vote aye, and those opposed, vote nay, and Secretary will call the roll.
It's a okay. That's right.
Oh, that, we do this by voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The title is so amended. Thank you. This brings us to Senator Frisley. That is a that's an acceptable motion. Moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Nygaard, that this be on consent. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion.
I would oppose this because we have amended it. I think it needs to have time for the folks on the floor to have thoughts about what we might have done here.
Okay. Okay, now we move to the confirmation hearing of the governor's appointment of Andy Gerlach to the position of Secretary of the Department of Revenue. And may we hear from our first proponent.
Joey, could you give this to the chairman?
Yeah.
I hope, Mr. Chairman, you didn't think I was going to be an opponent to this. They probably my staff. No, it's good to be here.
And we're very happy to have you here.
Yeah, and for the record and for those listening, I'm Andy Gerlach, Secretary of Revenue, and it's great to be here. And Mr. Chairman, when you found me the other day and told me that I was going to appear before the Senate Taxation Committee and be for my confirmation hearing, I was very glad and excited. And I mean that sincerely because our relationship with this committee and the Department of Revenue is so important. And it's important that you hear from me some things that are important for me and the department. And as we go forward together, I think we need to be in partnership in what we do. And that last bill was really a good example of it, to where we can work together to smooth things out for the betterment of public policy in South Dakota. So I'll read some statements, Mr. Chairman, and we'll go from there. Again, greetings and members of the House Committee on Taxation. Good to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to appear this morning, talk a little bit about myself, but more about the Department of Revenue. I would like to start by saying it's an honor and privilege to be chosen by Governor Dugard to lead the Department of Revenue. I'm deeply grateful for the trust and keenly aware of the responsibility the governor and people of South Dakota have placed in me. If confirmed, I will accept the duties of this office with gratitude, humility, and firm determination to represent the employees of revenue and citizens of South Dakota as energetically and faithfully as I can. Having grown up in Armour, attended public universities in South Dakota, Northern as an undergrad, where I have a Bachelor's of Business Administration, and then the University of South Dakota, where I have a Master's of Business Administration, I have served also in government since 1993, and this has given me a deep appreciation for public service to our state. I'm also a 25-year member of the South Dakota Army National Guard, currently holding the rank of Lieutenant Colonel, and I've been deployed 3 times in support of my country. I think service to one's country in any form is a duty we should all undertake, and I'm proud to be here in that capacity, and I think we all do that as public servants in South Dakota, also serving our country. As Revenue Secretary, communication will be my pledge, and I assure you that I will be in frequent consultation and conversation with members of this committee and South Dakota legislature. For me, consultation is not a catchword, but a commitment. The Department of Revenue will continue its standard of excellent service provided to the citizens and businesses of South Dakota. Professionalism, dependability, and accountability will be our motto, and we will support those who we serve on common ground and with common purpose. Our vision in revenue is to partner with our stakeholders to provide easy, fair, reliable revenue administration that also includes regulating our lottery and gaming industries. We will support our vision by establishing proactive educational outreach efforts with business, government, and citizens while encouraging voluntary compliance. In my short time as Revenue Secretary, I am of the firm belief that the overwhelming majority of citizens do have an obligation that they understand and hold to in terms of paying taxes. What I think we continue to do in consultation with this with this committee is establish tax policy that's right for South Dakota, both now and in the future, and ensure that our citizens are educated in a way that they understand tax policy. I know it's very frustrating sometimes for citizens when they don't understand either the taxes that they're responsible for, or they find out something that they could have done or should have done on their taxes had they been educated properly. So that, for me, is a big thing as Secretary of Revenue. We've already established partnerships with the South Dakota retailers, other business and industry, and are continuing to reach out to the citizens of South Dakota and businesses on an educational effort. We will also do this by leveraging technology to support our goals and ease of interaction, both internally and externally, with the Department of Revenue. We will organize and maintain partnerships with whom we do business. And finally, Mr. Chair, we'll continue to invest in our employees and ensure organizational learning. I can't tell you how important it is to have the staff that I have in Revenue. The advice they give to this committee, both from a technical standpoint, from a historical standpoint, I think is invaluable in helping you make decisions, and me too in making decisions in Revenue. So investing our employees, I think, is an incredibly important part of what we do, and it's very important to me as a leader and as the Secretary of Revenue. Closing, Mr. Chairman, my thanks to you and members of this committee for your support. I have a great deal of admiration for your service to the citizens of South Dakota, which whom you represent, and I look forward to working with you on a wide range of issues in partnership for the betterment of our great state. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my statement on my confirmation hearing. I'd be more than happy to stand, take any questions, or discuss anything either you or the committee would like to.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Why don't you just stay seated there, because first of all, let me ask, are there any other proponents that would like to speak on behalf in favor of the governor's appointment of Secretary Gerlach? If not, are there any committee members that would like to ask any questions of the Secretary?
Mr.
Senator Nygaard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gerlach, was this the same presentation you made to the House?
I thought it was best to be confirmed by the Senate, so I didn't have a chance to get to the House. But I'm pretty happy to be here. So, no, Senator Niger.
Well, I say that because you started by addressing members of the House committee.
I did.
Yes. Just having fun with you, Andy. You've got a fine record, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other questions, Senator Hunstead?
I want you to know that we're looking forward to working with you in your capacity as Secretary of the Department of Revenue, and I'd like you to know that the acting secretary, in your absence when you were serving South Dakota overseas, is one of my favorite people in state government and one of the people that I've looked up to. And so my question would be, I won't make it a question. I want you to continue to lean on that gentleman, because he's a really important part of your department, and particularly to thank him for his service in your absence before you got back here to fully serve.
Absolutely, and I take those comments to heart, and I think Dave is recognized by the legislature in South Dakota as probably the tax expert in all aspects of what we have, and his historical reference and knowledge in those areas are invaluable, I think, to all of us, so absolutely.
Senator Maher.
Just a quick question, Mr. Chairman. Secretary, have you been in and around state government before, or is this your first appointment in state government? I don't recall, so.
It's a good question. It is my first appointment. I started in government in 1993, working for the Bureau of Finance and Management, the Governor's Budget Office, and worked there. And then I went to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs as their finance officer, became the Deputy Secretary of Military and Veterans Affairs in 2005 and held that until my deployment in 2009.
Any other questions? I guess the chair would observe that anyone growing up with the maroon and gold of armor and having an opportunity probably to have played for Coach Glanzer, he's probably pretty good. So my congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I suppose maroon and gold then is the reason that you went to Northern, too, to kind of maintain some consistency there.
Absolutely, and then I switched over to the red and white eventually, but I bleed maroon and gold.
Very, very well responded to that. Well, welcome. We appreciate working with you, and I believe that we're to the point of where a motion to approve this advice and consent would be in order.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Nelson?
I move that we confirm and approve the advices and consent of the governor's appointment of Secretary Gerlach.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Lederman. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We are to the point of where on Senate Bill 61, which, let's see, no, on Senate Bill 20, which is an agency bill. And Senator Nygaard, would you present this on the floor? And Senator Hunstad, if you'd present it to your caucus in the event that there's any questions. We are to the point of a motion to adjourn would be in order. Before we do that, reminder that our next meeting will be Wednesday, which will be the ninth legislative day, and we do have a bill that we have held over from last week that we'll be bringing up on Wednesday, so we'll have a meeting at 10 o'clock. Motion to, motion to adjourn is in order. Moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Lederman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.